Good morning. Make your life beautiful. I'm actually taking from Emmett Fox. He has a book called Make Your Life... I forget. I like beautiful. I changed it. I put beautiful there instead. But Make Your Life Worthwhile. That's what it's called. And I even pulled a little bit this morning on the scripture. If anyone noticed that Matthew and Romans stuck together, without changing anything, Emmett put the two together. So I said, well, Emmett does that. Works for me. And I looked up the both of them. I said, there's nothing changed here. If anything, he's strengthened it. He made it more, he brought clarity, a little more clarity to it. So today, which I think we'll be continuing in a series of pulling from this, and today we have God cannot find out. Treating both ways, and you can if you want to. And I like to open up with a little something from Quimby. And he says, when I say that by this great truth I cast out error, or in other words, correct your opinion and free you from that curse of all evils, disease, I do not mean to say that P.P. Quimby is equal to the man Jesus or equal to his wisdom or Christ, but merely admit that I recognize the great principle in man of God as a separate and distinct person. And so I think of, again, in one of our first stories, the Garden of Eden, we have the two trees. So what he's talking about is hanging around in the tree of life, not hanging around in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that distinct Christ self. Can only truly have its being in the tree of life. You know, and often the problem that we run against is people trying to quote or relay what Jesus was teaching, but at the same time sitting in the tree of life of good and evil. And so it gets all very confusing. And then we have all these trying to figure out what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about duality, so that's not what Jesus ever talked about. So I love that for me, when this statement from Quimby, I believe that's exactly what he's talking about. And of course, that's called from an article, Experience of a Patient with Dr. Quimby, which is on page 252 from his complete writings and beyond. So first, God cannot find out, treating both ways. Well, what are we talking about here? God cannot find out. Well, God is omnipresent. An omniscience, an omnipower. What is it that God needs to find out? God already knows. And so we have these stories, and this is what's really important, is that the Old Testament is the Old Testament with its books and stories. The end. Now, there's the New Testament. The awakening of Christ in absolute, and that would be Jesus the Christ. And here we have the Gospels, we have a lot of letters, and it stays in this Christ principle, which has brought wisdom and grace to the understanding of practicing or loving the laws of God. Now there's clarity. So for instance, in the story of Abraham, or in Job, now in Abraham there's a whole thing that God tested his faith. That he had to lay his son upon the altar and slay him. God was never testing his faith. You see, Abraham believed that's what he had to do. He believed he had to do that. And of course, in our story, in the end, God, all good, says, no, you don't have to do it. You proved enough to me. We're good. I now see that you are who you are. God already knows this. You see, that's where all the confusion, that's the love of God's law, minus the wisdom, the knowledge, and Lord knows the grace. That's just not there. But the faith is there, and the love of law is there. But God would never say, prove your faith to me. Then that talks about a God that's not omnipresent, is not omniscience, and is not omnipower. There's some serious lack going on there. There's a big space where God can't see and doesn't know and can't understand, so you have to prove it to him. See, here what we've done is we're working God in the image of man rather than that we are in the image of God. Complete reversal. And what happens is we make a much smaller God that we turn to, and in turn can't really bring these principles into fruition in a way that we can when we understand what Jesus was teaching. And the same thing with Job. You know, it even points out, that says, well, the devil, that God gave the devil permission to do this to Job. Please, no. What we have an interesting thing in here, which I'm going to talk about a little bit, what we teach in metaphysics of God in regards to the devil, Satan, evil. But, you know, to continue on this thought, in bringing both of this, God cannot find out, and treating both ways, of course, is all about being in duality. I'm trying to do all this dualistically. And so, therefore, I'm functioning in erroneous thought. That doesn't mean a little sprinkle won't come in of God goodness. It doesn't mean I may still be loving God. I'm loving God so much that I don't have the clarity to be taught. Oh no, I just love, but I'm not willing to learn. Then how much love is really there? What is love? I mean, it seems very selfish and self-centered that I will love, but I'm unwilling to be taught. I will function with blind faith rather than a faith of knowing that the activity of God is already at work within me. But that's a choice. And here's a few things. Jesus never said, sorry folks, you'll never know God as I do. Or he never said, hey, it's an eye for an eye, but yet Old Testament practiced that, right? See, there's something. Jesus came along and said, no. It's not an eye for an eye. You know, in fact, love your enemy as much as you'd love someone you actually care about. Well, you're not going to be taking an eye for an eye. I love what Gandhi said about that, and it's right over here at the Rec Center, which a lot of us have gone to, and one of the famous quotes he had is, it said, an eye for an eye just will leave the world blind. So how do we gain anything from that? Jesus never said, forgive us our trespasses, and we'll try to forgive our trespassers. That's never said. It's made very clear. And I often talk about this in that infinity sign. You know, if I want to be forgiven, I have to forgive. And at the level I forgive, I will be forgiven. They work as one. You know, I don't do half a blink. I blink. You know, and what's a blink? It creates two motions. Eyelids open, eyelids close. Try doing half a blink. Or one third of a blink. Try making the heart pump halfway with going in and fully with going out. Try, you know what you can do? See how this works. Breathing, right? It's two motions, but it's one. Inhale and exhale. Well, try inhaling less and exhaling more and see how far you can get away with that. How long is that going to last before you fall down on the ground and have to be, resuscitated? You know, so, yes, forgive us our trespasses and we'll try to forgive our trespassers. Never said that. Love the neighbor who only believes as you do. Never said that. See, this is all duality. And how easy it is to fall into that, to be judgmental because you don't think the way I think. So I will judge you. Because I'm all knowing, I got this all down. I've got it all figured out. You know? And even if the person is just flat out in a bad space, I still love them. I still love them. Take what I say literally. Jesus never said that. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's 2 Corinthians 3:6. You know, so he never said take us literally. And so we're not supposed to take the letter literally. We're supposed to have it waken us into spirit and move beyond what we're reading in front of us and allow something beautiful to happen like we do with our meditation. That's why we do these meditations. That's why we go into the silence. Divine science does not deny there's a lot of ways to meditate, but the way we do it is to bring ourselves into silence. You know, anything before that is contemplating. You know, but when you're ready to meditate, blow out the candle, you know, Turn off the music, go into silence, and listen. Move beyond words and thoughts. Ah, the devil made me do it. That was never taught. Now, in divine science and other any other faiths that practice the metaphysical teachings of Christianity, evil is means unripe. A couple things. It means unripe or immature, as in these figs are very evil from Jeremiah. It didn't mean look out, these they're going to come out and put a hex on you. It just meant that they're unripe and immature. And there's a greater statement in understanding that evil is being unripe and immature. We can take that into so many other things now. Rather than just like, you know, it's the Exorcist, you know. They're going to watch some little kid's head spinning around puking up green pea soup, you know. That's not what we're talking about. You know, this need for dramatics is entertaining, but it also can lead us into an ignorance. And ignorance is also a part of what we would call evil. The immaturity of it. The devil is a divider, a belief in duality. A double-sided man is unstable in all ways. That's from James. So when we talk about the devil, it's kind of scary to think about how many great places of faith teach duality. Swearing that it's all about Jesus, and yet teaching it from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in duality. That's mind-blowing. You know, so we look at this and we have this, and for, you know, I'm speaking for myself, it's a daily practice to not get caught up in the duality. You know, it takes a lot of concentration in a sense of, or I should say a lot of practice. And yet, how wonderful it is when I'm not doing that. Time and time again, it's always proven to me how wonderful it all is, how great it all is, how beautiful it all becomes. And this is what leads us to having a beautiful life, and we stop twisting around things and, you know, get a little more in touch with what Jesus was actually saying, or getting in touch with what some of these terms really mean. And I truly believe this, because, you know, the way I used to read the Bible, I didn't want to read it. Close that thing, burn it, you know, quite frankly. Get that nonsense away from me. Now I read it with the same words, and all I am is fulfilled with this deep grace and love and wisdom, patience, most of the time. Just harmony. It's all in there. But I'm not looking at it and reading it as the letter, but allowing the Spirit to be moved. As was mentioned earlier, you know, Jesus says, I'm leaving this with you. I'm leaving the Holy Spirit with you. You got this. So I'm with you. I'm still with you. And you've been awakened now. Why would a teacher teach something that we cannot do or be or have? That's not teaching. We teach so that people can learn and become. You know, so it makes absolutely no sense that Jesus is so removed from us that we are incapable of having this Christ self within us. Paul goes as far to say in one of his letters that that should there be this so-called second coming of another one that walked as Jesus, and why not? You know, evolution's evolution. But he felt, this is like in his later letters, like 25 years later, he really felt that the second coming really was each and every one of us. That's the second coming. We've been awakened. Number two. Number one, Jesus is full and completely in tune to the Christ self. Number two, we're all now awakened because of it. That's called a second coming. Not too many people, not too many Christians are going to really like that. And that's, you know, tough. Tough for you. Because I like this. I feel this freeing. It's just, it's freedom. It's freedom from all the stuff that I get caught up on, that I absorb, and all this stuff. And then this just takes it and goes washes it away. But I have to keep doing it because I have to keep washing it away. So you can, if you want to. True desire is not a passing wish or a fantasy to be someone or something, of which, especially as children, we have so many. You know, whatever happened today, I see a fire truck, I want to be a fireman. You know, I see some rock band on TV, I want to be, you know, a blistering, you know, guitarist or singer, you know, or I see some cool science thing, I want to be a scientist, you know, so forth and so on. But those are just fantasies, those are just passing wishes. And somewhere along the line, something that means something to us, we have to completely step out of that. Desire requires faculty, and faculty requires opportunity. True desire moves far beyond passing fancies. I have to start living it. As we've often said, or I've heard, I don't know where I heard it first, but I love it. Pray. And then start living your prayer. Start living it. It doesn't mean you're going to see instantaneous results to the maximum of everything you pray, but you are now living it. In other words, putting the wheels in motion. You are now allowing opportunity to take place in your life. You know, you're allowing this faculty that will help create the opportunity. Divine wisdom opens the way into God mind, a building mind that connects and follows through in studying and seeking and connecting. You see, and this is what I love. It's like, we need our intellect as much as we need our creativity, as much as we need our imagination, as much as we need our faith in God, as much as we need for those who desire to be of Christ mind, or if you wish to be of a Buddha mind or Tao mind. It's like, I don't have any problem with anybody who wants to do it, because there's the principles are pretty much the same. For me, Jesus just kind of goes a little more full circle. You know? But get into that space and let something wonderful happen within you. You know? There's no denying it. What better than anything else but to be a witness unto your own self? It's great to see other people go, oh yeah, they're practicing that and look what's happening. But how about your own personal experiences? You can say, oh man, this really is happening. This really does work when I work it. And there's the beauty of it. When I work it, it works. So it's not like, oh man, that's, you know, I'm not catching a break, everything's all messed up, things are spinning out of control. Well, that's because I'm not working it. And that's wonderful. Because that means there's a solution all the time. I just got to get back to working it. And every time I do, the results are wonderful. You know, and a lot of this has to do with what we call, when we talk about going to the sciences, I have to get a lot of my ifs, ands, and buts out of the way. I have to get a lot of how I think God's going to work things out of the way. I just got to show up and do it. And allow the beautiful motion of creation to just unfold. You know, I can't force it to unfold anyway. And that's where I get caught up, creating my dams and my walls and my high gates. So, again, it's just, God cannot find out. God already knows. How can one find out? It's like when we say, oh, I want more of God. It's not going to happen. You'll never have more of God. I can ask myself to be more conscious of God. But God's already infinite. So I can't expect more from infinite. As I heard a long time ago, and I like this, it said, stop praying to have God in your heart and start praying to be in God's heart. You know. And to take a look at what we're saying. Am I truly going, yeah, forgive me, but you know, I'll try to forgive, but forgive me. How much am I functioning with stuff like that? You know? And in truth, isn't it just me getting caught up in my self-centeredness? Me, 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 want, take, take, take. Just isn't going to work. It just won't work. And you can if you want to. You really can if you want to. But we have to step outside of the fantasy and the passing wish and and allow that faculty within us to have its opportunity. And forget about the passing fancies. I mean, they're fine. But the stuff that really matters to me, we have to remove ourselves from all that. And just have our being. Know the I am. I am that I am. In the meditation, I think I said, God is I am. God is and I am. Know this power. Because it's yours. It always has been. Okay, if you'll join me in a prayer. Life is beautiful. We are beautiful. We are created in the image and likeness of that heavenly mind, that infinite source, God. We are of the Christ. The Christ is within us. Let us awaken and have our joy and have our beautiful life. And so it is.